Job, Doug. That's an oldie but goodie, amen. Where the soul never dies. So what were some of the answers? I'd love to have a new dishwasher. All right. I'd love to have a new Candace. No. Mind, all right, all right. I'd love to have a new, because if you say two, then they say, can I say three? We're not, we're, you know what I'm saying? That's how I go. I'd love to have a new what? Yes. New car, all right. Going to Price is Right. Yeah, Cheryl. A new backyard. A new backyard. My wife would wants one for us because our dog, Kona, throwing the ball, there's no more grass. It's all dirt, so she would love to have one too. Yes, Lee.
A new attitude and perspective towards God.
A new See, that's a spiritual brother. You hear that? Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Lee. Yes, bud. Who? Tractor.
Tractor.
Tractor. Okay. All right. New tractor. One more. I like that. Yeah. A new resolve to lose weight. Okay. See. The resolve to lose weight. See, that's I like that. That's conviction. Okay. This month, as you guys know, we're going to be focusing on what God can do. And when God says, I make all things new, what does that mean? What does that mean to you? What does it mean to me? What does it mean for us as Christians, that we have a God who can make all things new? What does that mean? We're going to begin with a clip from Mel Gibson's The Passion of Christ. And it's a video, it's a clip that shows Jesus and his mother right before he goes on the cross, but he's carrying the cross. And he makes this statement. Mel Gibson has to, think about perhaps what he did say. It's not recorded in the scriptures. But he says this, I'll make all things new. So let's dim the lights and look at this clip, Passion of Christ.
Y la cuerda, pues.
¡Y la!
Quello mi ha attaccato i vesti. In cielo!
As a mom, what did you hear, mothers out here, when you saw that clip and hear Jesus say, I make all things new? As a mom, what were you thinking? What do you think she was thinking? Yes?
Maybe someone else can.
Yeah. Can someone else go, why you? Why do you have to do this? What else? What would you think as a mom hearing that? Yes, Heidi.
Why does it have to be this way?
Okay. Yeah, why does it have to be this way? Why do we have to make things new by you suffering and dying? That doesn't make sense. Just make it new. I don't understand how death makes it new. Suffering makes it new. Yeah. What would you be thinking? Yes.
When Michael died, I just felt like as long as good comes from it, it's worth it.
Thank you for sharing. So Lynn says, when Michael died, as long as good comes from this, and a lot of good has come from Michael's death. The golf tournament coming up on the 15th, the memorial golf tournament that gives scholarships to those in need in the University of Georgia, a lot of good has come from Michael's passing. A lot of good. What else? As a mom. Yes?
Let me go.
Let me go. Let me go. Yes. It's too much. Too much to bear. It's too much sacrifice to make something new, right? Now, what about the rest of us? Those maybe that heard it around Jesus. And again, this is for the movie, but if you were in that scene and you heard Jesus say, I make all things new, what would you have been thinking about this? Yeah. What can I do to help relieve his pain? Okay. Anybody else? How can what? How can you do that? How can you think that way? You're about to die. What would you think the word new meant? I make all things new. What would come to your mind? Yes, Dennis. I'm going to make it new, all right. I'm going to wipe everything, and everything's going to die. We're going to start all over, right? Yeah, yeah. Yes. Okay, the mindset of dying to yourself in terms of making new. Okay, all right. You're in that crowd, you hear this. Wouldn't it be puzzling? Wouldn't you maybe think, well, maybe he's talking about he's going to come back since he is the Messiah. He'll come back and rule. There'll be a new rule, right? And we'll be on top. No one can make this statement like our Creator, God Almighty. This is a kingdom statement. It's a statement of reign. I make all things new. I make all things new is not the same as I make new things. It's a big difference. He's not saying I make new things. He goes, I make all things new. It's a transformation statement. It's a transformation statement. I change the way things are. We see this statement in the book of Revelation. Written 96 years after Jesus' death on the island of Patmos, not far from the coast of Asia Minor. John had been taken there, exiled, and he was a martyr, and therefore his faith in Christ, and he writes seven short letters of exhortation written to the Christians in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea to encourage them, help them to remain true even though they're going through hard times, trials, persecutions. He says, I'm going to write them a letter to inspire them. He writes it in apocalyptic literature, perhaps to avoid added persecution. The people living in this time were used to that type of literature. We're not. So we make all types of assumptions that are really wrong. It was written to people who already knew something of what he was talking about. The symbols used to describe it. Revelation 21, it's a part of the book that describes a longing for heaven. A longing for heaven. When you feel like you're in hell, you need something to inspire you to long for heaven. And he writes this to comfort them, to encourage them, to give them new hope. Revelation 21. I'm sure he prayed that this would bring about patience, endurance, and preservation. In verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea existed no longer. I also saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. What a sight! Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God is dwelling with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will exist no longer. Grief, crying, pain will exist no longer, because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. He also said, write, because these words are faithful and true. John speaks of the appearance of a new heaven and a new earth. He saw from heaven a new earth, a new heaven. The old one has passed away. The sea existed no longer. This would be some sort of sight. The universe as we know it now is gone. The earth as we know it now, no longer. This will be a place left for saints and angels. Worship will be what will happen, what we enjoy, what we do. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. You see, earth as we know it and experience it will be no longer. This earth is temporary. This earth is disposable. It won't last forever. It's like the law of entropy, which says that matter is always breaking down and tending toward what? Disorder. That's our earth. Breaking down and tending toward disorder. Please do not have your hope in something like this that's tending toward disorder. Some of us act surprised daily. because our world is tending toward disorder, we're shocked. We're amazed. But this is our earth. That's why we need a new one. The word new is not what you think. The word is not neo, which means opposed to old, or the opposite of old. I don't think we want a new one of these, do we? I don't think you and I want a new earth, a new one of these, a neo one of these. We don't want the same old again. We want something different. It's kind of like telling you you have a new, neo, new car outside. Now, Todd Abernathy, if I told you I bought you a new car, Todd, would you be excited about that? Woo! Your Todd goes, yes! You don't know what kind of car I'm going to buy you. Would you be excited if I told you it was a 1972 Reliant Bond bug car? There's your new car. What do you think? Man, 19, never been driven. Tires are 1972. They got armor all on them. They're ready to go. Would Todd be excited about that car? Would you be excited about getting a new car like this? Those of you who don't have one, absolutely. Those of us who do have a car, well, what excites you about this new car? Yes. He can sell this for $130 and get something that he wants to get. Okay, what excites you, Dennis, about this car? It takes you to a place where you want to go. Do you have a car? Spoken by a man who does not have a car. I like that. I mean, I'm excited. If I don't have a car, I'm excited about this 1972 Reliant Bond bug car. And it's not James Bond either. What doesn't excite you about this car? What doesn't excite you about it? This new car. If you were to have this new car right in your driveway, what doesn't excite you about it? Yeah, yes. Well, yeah, kind of. That little knob, I guess that's the door. Okay, so that doesn't excite you. Yeah, you need more of a door. Okay, yeah. What doesn't excite you? Oh, long legs. Couldn't fit. All right. What else? Yes. It's ugly. Ugly, yes. Dice hanging from the mirror. That doesn't excite me. Yes, Jenny, yeah. It's the wrong color. Okay, yes, Steve. It's not better than his current car. If y'all know what kind of car Steve had, you would understand. All right, now what doesn't excite me about it? Well, Bud, one more. Bud, yeah. Yeah, Gary. What's that? No airbags. Shoot, if you get in an accident in that, you're dead anyway, right? Yeah, Lynn. Ah, on the wrong side. There you go. All right. Well, now, what about GPS? Huh? What about a cell phone charger thingy? What about the new, just the modern technologies? No. Doesn't have it. It may not even have AC. Now, and the ride is probably not smooth. You know, years ago, I wanted my dream car, and I contemplated getting, I've always wanted a 280Z. I mean, back from 1985, you know. And I asked one brother, I asked Gene, I said, Gene, you know, you're into sport cars. What do you think about getting an old, you know, 280Z? He said, AB, you know, you could do it, but it wouldn't ride like you think it rides. Because you've been so accustomed to really nice rides, it's a really bumpy ride. 1984, 85, it was a bumpy ride. You feel everything on that road. I thought, you're right. Because what was new back in 1984 and 85 is not new now. It's not new now. You know, the word new that John speaks of here in Revelation 21 is not neo. The word is kainos, which means new in quality. It means new, a new type, a fresh type, a different type. Not just new as opposed to old, but I got something that doesn't even resemble this. God originally made the universe and the earth to be the permanent home, but mankind messed it up. Death entered in, corruption entered in, fallen angels decay, and God had to make a new akenos, a new type. And that's the power. So when newness comes, there will be no more storms, no more fierce winds, no more thunder and rain, no more demons, no more sin, no more death, no more decay. It's a new type of newness that God wants to bring. It's not just a heaven that we can think of that will be golf courses and swimming pools and luxury. It's a new type, something we can't even imagine. It's so new. We're driving in cars that in 1984 we couldn't even imagine the technology. Our minds can't contain it. This is the new, the kainos that John is describing. He's going to give us a new heaven, a new type of heaven, a new type of earth. That's the first thing. The second thing he mentions, he's going to give us a new city, a new city. In verse 2, I also saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. There is no greater sight in my life than to see my would-be future wife coming down that aisle. March 28th, 1992 in Davie, Florida. My knees buckled. Do you realize that when we see this new city, we're going to do more than just buckle our knees? We're going to fall down on them. It's a new type of city, one that's different in style, different in type, one we can't even imagine. That's a new city. What does he really mean? What kinds of citizens will be in this city? How would it look? What do you think? Let's imagine for a minute, how will this city be? What do you think? Give me some feedback. Yes. No fences, no walls, no roofs, no locks, right? Yeah. Think about it. What kind of city is this? Yes. Kind and friendly. Yeah. Kind of like those big, you know, conventions that we go to, the FTCs. I mean, it's like heaven on earth, boy. You see everybody, hey, bro. I mean, you're hugging people. You see the name tag, you just hug them. And then you go, where are you from? What else? When you think about this city. Yes. No hiding, no pretending, no hypocrisy. You are who you are. Everything's out in the open. Yes. Being in God's presence. I mean, that kind of city where you are aware of God's presence and really responding to God's reign. What kind of citizens live in that city? Those who have made Jesus Lord. Yeah. No weapons. War. Could you imagine at one of the FTCs we had war? You're like, what in the world is going on? At the 2020 conference in Orlando, a war breaks out, a riot. You'd be like, what? And these Christians have lost their minds. No more war. No more weapons. Why do we need to protect anything? We're in God's city. Yeah. No more orphans. No more people starving, starvation, needy. Could you imagine this kind of city? We don't know much about this city, but we can assume that God and his divine purposes, that every person in this city is ruled by Christ. Ruled by Christ. No more division. No more half-hearted commitment. We're all ruled by Christ. Can you imagine such a city? Do you know our city, Tallahassee, doesn't qualify? Don't even imagine it. Don't even let it enter your mind. It's not that kind of city. Even though we have a great city, but it's not a Cano city. It's not one that's remade by God. Remember when in Hebrews 11, the writer says that Abraham was looking for a city that has foundations whose architect and builder is God? That city, the architect is God. The builder is God. And later on in Hebrews 12:22-24, says, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels and festive gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn whose names have been written in heaven, to God who is the judge of all, to the spirits of righteous people made perfect, to Jesus and to the sprinkled blood, which says better things than the blood of Abel. That is some city. Those are amazing citizens. It is a wonderful community. God makes it new. John is saying that this, brothers and sisters, even though you're suffering, even though you're going through persecution, even though you're going through trials, this is where you're moving. This is where you're going to have your citizenship. So hang on. Hang on. John is encouraging them, one, that God is going to make a new heaven and earth. And number two, God is going to make a new city. And he adds something else new. Verse 3. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. God is creating a new dwelling. I'll say it again. He's creating a new dwelling. And John heard a loud voice, one that's an announcer. The encouraging announcement is God is going to make a new dwelling, and guess who will dwell in that new dwelling? God himself. God himself. Woo! What's so new? What's so Canos about this dwelling? God is living in the same house. The Emmanuel God is with us, really with us. Not just in human flesh with all his fullness, but no more veils. We see him as he is. And when we see him as he is, we will fall down and worship. There is no more. Well, where is God? Is God really here? Is he on time? Is he late? He's going to be right in front of you. He's coming to make his home with us. When we sing, come and go with me to my Father's house. Whoa, to my Father. That's what we're singing. Peace and happiness there. I mean, sometimes we go, peace and happiness there. We're not even thinking about the new home. We're so caught up in this home that we don't realize that this dwelling, this is a habitation. And we also sing that one. There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seek that grand abode. Oh, Zion, lovely Zion, I long thy gates to. Oh, lovely Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? That's why we sing them. We don't sing them to pass away time or to fill a quota in our worship. We sing it to remind us that we will one day be in a new city, be in a new home, be in a new dwelling, be in a new habitation with God right there. And you think you're struggling? You don't have hope? Well, the hope is in this world and not in the next. God doesn't promise us all good times in this world, but he does promise that one day he'll wipe away every tear. That one day death will no longer exist. That one day grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer, because the previous things, the old things, are gone away. And he will bring a newness, a new type that we've never seen before. Every morning, brothers and sisters, you get up and remind yourself that God is going to make all things new. We don't need to wait to experience this kind of newness. We can get it right now. As Christians, as disciples, as followers of Jesus, you can get a new type in your life right now. You got to claim it. Even our sufferings, we can experience newness. 1 Peter 2, 19 through 21 talks about it. Even our joys, we can experience newness. Consider it great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its work, complete work, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. God will give you, through your joys and through your trials, a newness, a maturity, a new type of person in you if you go through them. And I love what Steve Bowen always says. He said, you can't go to them. You got to go through them. Many of us, we get to our trials and we back off. And so we wonder, why no more maturity? Why not the peace? Why not the joy? Because we've gone to it and we've stopped and we haven't gone through it. It'd be like Jesus going to the cross and not getting on it. Even death, we experience newness. 1 Corinthians 15, listen, I'm telling you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep, but we will be changed in a moment, in the blinking of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will rise incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible must be clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal must be clothed with immortality. When this corruptible is clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Now, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. My question to you, are you ready to go through it and go to newness in April? Are you ready to go through it and to newness in this month of April? This month, get ready to be encouraged. Get ready to be encouraged and to hear how God makes things new in our lives right now. Next week, we're going to talk about how he does it. Well, God restores. God restores. That's how he does it. He restores. Easter week end, he resurrects. And to close out the month of April, we'll talk about how God renames. He restores, he resurrects, and he renames. So my prayer for all of us in this month, that come May, we will be restored, refreshed, resurrected, and renamed. Don't call me AB anymore. Call me something else. Let's pray, and then we'll have a closing song. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the way that you make things new. Father, we have such great hope in you. Father, forgive us for trying to make ourselves new. Forgive us for not trusting in you to make us new. And Father, forgive us for not even thinking beyond our days and beyond this earth. And Father, you have so many promises that I know we all forget. Remind us this month of how you are a God who makes all things new. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. At this time, let's stand and we'll get a closing song. And please, parents, go get your children.
There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seek that grand abode. Oh, Zion, lovely Zion, I long thy gates to see.
Oh, lovely Zion.